Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Aganati Marandasya Ganangana Salakya Chaksurun Miritam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Would you believe this is a phrase from Shakespeare? The green-eyed monster. Our talk tonight is going to be about envy. How many of you are on Instagram? Just curious. Most of us. I was a little late coming to Instagram. Then I realized, oh, there's all kinds of cool stuff out there. The problem with Instagram is that now that I'm on Instagram, I'm also bothered by all the incredible vacation spots that you visit and all the retreats you attend in places like Costa Rica. They look amazing. You go to places that I've never been. In fact, I've gone to some of those places, but when I was there, it didn't look nearly as cool as it was when you went with your cool pictures. And I'm also challenged by all the hip, cool, young preachers in their t-shirts and their overpriced sneakers. So I thought the way to solve all this comparison was to get off of Instagram for a while. And then I thought, wait a minute, I'm not a quitter. So I got back on. I thought, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to up my game. And I'm going to make you as discontented with your life as you've made me with my life. And so I'm going to start using better filters. I'm going to take my pictures over and over again until I get the perfect one. Then I'm going to crop it a little bit closer and edit out this part and apply that filter. I'm going to put on Instagram the highlight reel of my life so that it'll make your lame life look even lamer. I'm going to win my competition with you, even though you don't even know that I'm competing with you. And in all this, you know what the great thing about Instagram is? It's a constant reminder, and we all need reminding of this, that there really is no win in comparison. There's no win in comparison. When we're swayed to emulate another person or to have what another person has, we're allowing those desires and emotions to be the boss of us. When there are unwanted emotions competing with each other for control inside of you or me, sooner or later, those are going to take over our mouths, and then our mouths are going to get us into trouble. We know that as far as our diet is concerned, whatever enters into the mouth goes into the stomach, and then it comes back out again. We see that at least once or twice a day, and we know that. Thinking or bringing in to your mind does not in itself defile you, but when your heart is full of comparison and envy, count on it that sooner or later wrong things are going to come out of your mouth. That's what defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you before the Supreme Lord Krishna. What comes out of your mouth can put you at odds with God and put you at odds with other people. Now, Krishna, God, is not overly concerned with what you think or feel, but He's very concerned about what comes out of your mouth. If you hurt other living beings, and especially devotees, God-conscious, God-centered, righteous people, then you set yourself up to be at odds with God. In the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, Krishna says to His friend and disciple Arjuna, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesha stina priyaha ye bijanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, this is God speaking, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all, but whoever renders service to me in devotion is a friend in me, and I am also a friend to him. Think about it. Everything that you've ever done, for the most part, began with a thought. It began in your mind, or it began in your heart. In Sanskrit, the word for mind and heart is the same, chitta. You see the problem. Our words and our deeds actually reflect what is inside us. And we don't like this because I want to think that the thing I just said to you that was insensitive and nasty, I want to think that I didn't really mean to say that. I want to think that it's an exception and that it doesn't really reflect poorly on me. I want to think that it was an accident. And so I say, well, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. I'm not sure where that came from. Creation or God saying tonight, I know, and I'm sure where that came from your heart. We dare not allow these destructive forces that reside within inside us to come out of us and undermine our success, undermine our marriages, undermine our relationships, undermine our future, our dating, or whatever. He says what he means. He says what he likes. The problem is we can't just go along in life simply trying to tap down or monitor the heart, being quick to repress unworthy and hateful speech. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. It's like toothpaste. Whatever you put in, it's going to come out. If all we try to do is put a filter over our mouth, from time to time, we're going to fail. And then we're going to say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. And we treat our words flippantly, as if it was accidental. We think that we can say something hurtful, call it accidental, and that removes the hurt. That's just not true, is it? If I accidentally back into your car with my car, it was an accident, but you don't then say, oh, well, if it's an accident, I'm fine. No, it hurts just as much. Same thing with our words. You can fool yourself all day long, but the reason that you said them is because they were already in there. So we need to go after this stuff and rid our hearts and cleanse our hearts. This is the process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Cheto darpanam marjanam. Clean the dirty stuff off the mirror of our heart. Night and day by constant recitation, chant the great mantra without hesitation, free from temptation with the sensation of feeling yourself lower in the straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. Humility is the key to enjoy the vibration eternally. Krishna Govinda, son of Nanda, though you're the one, my shining sun, I'm heartbroken in this ocean of birth and death. It's not worth the commotion. Pull me out of this cruel blender. Surrender as an atom in the sweet splendor of your tender lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when you're competing and comparing yourself to people, it's either going to make you arrogant because you're more successful and more accomplished than they are, or it's going to make you depressed and despise yourself because you fall short of so-and-so and such-and-such. There's no upside. There's no positive to envy. It ruins relationships. It'll make you not a very good friend, not a very good sister-in-law, not a very good brother-in-law or cousin or child or brother or sister or boss or employee. We say, wow, I don't know where that came from. I'll tell you where it came from. It came from within you. It's not going away, but the good news is it doesn't have to control you. I don't think that envy is a problem to be solved. Rather, it's a tension to manage. Because we're human and we're fallen, and it's just natural to compare, and it's natural to allow our self-esteem to be built upon what other people are doing as opposed to what God has called us to do. However, determining how successful you are and comparing your success with everybody else's success is meaningless. Everybody determining where they are based on where everybody else is meaningless. There's a term for it, chasing the wind. It's endless. There's no finish line. There's no peace, no ultimate satisfaction. There's no contentment. It's like an unquenchable appetite. Chasing after the wind. You know, there's always an er. There's always an er. His is new er. And hers is nice er. Her kids are smart er. And theirs are big er. And his is faster. There's always someone with a bigger er than we have. Now, if you're familiar with the Mahabharata, Duryodhana visited the capital of his arch rivals, the Pandavas, in Indraprastha. And as it's described in the Mahabharata, the prince burned from envy of the Pandavas' success. They had far exceeded him in their power and influence. Duryodhan could not stand the fact that Yudhisthira was now the emperor of the world, a position he felt should belong to him. He says, "I am filled with jealousy to see the world under the Pandava sway, having witnessed their astounding sacrifice and seeing them shining like gods in heaven. My heart burns day and night. I am drying up like a shallow pool in the summer sun. I cannot tolerate. I therefore shall enter fire and drown myself or swallow poison. What man who possesses any prowess at all can bear to see his enemies prosper? How can I ever equal their power and opulence? Fate is supreme and man's exertions useless. All my efforts to destroy the Pandavas have failed. Instead, they flourish like lotuses in a lake. Therefore, I should die. Know that I am in the grip of grief, O uncle, and I burn with envy." Do you think that envy has become the boss of Duryodhan? Do you think Duryodhan is just chasing the wind? It never, never ends. It's called dissatisfaction guaranteed. Chasing the wind. If you allow envy to become the boss of you in any area, you can't even enjoy your own accomplishments. It steals the joy from your own achievements because there's always someone who's achieved more than you. And when you catch yourself drifting in that direction, that's when you have to step back and say, "No, no, no. Envy, you're not the boss of me. That is simply chasing the wind. And I have more important things to do with my life than chasing the wind." That's why a few of you at least might have gone off of social media. It's just driving you crazy. You found yourself thinking about it all the time. Compared to them, I'm a loser. I'm a loser. My husband's a loser. Compared to them, my kids are losers. And you just can't deal with it anymore. And some of you have been wise enough to decide, "I'm going to take a vacation from Facebook." Reminds me of the two cows that were grazing in a pasture. A milk truck passed by, and on the side of the truck were the words pasteurized, homogenized, standardized, vitamin A milk. One cow looked at the other and said, "Makes you feel sort of inadequate, doesn't it?" Well, that's exactly what jealousy does. If you're an ambitious person, if you're a person who likes progress, if you love accomplishments, here's a question that you need to ask yourself. For whom am I toiling? Who am I doing this for really? What's really driving me? What am I trying to prove? And here's the tough part. Who am I trying to prove it to? Something to think about. A question to wrestle to the ground. Why do you stress yourself out to do everything that you do? Fathers say, "I'm doing it for my family." Really? So your family's pushing you. You get up in the morning, your family's at the door saying, come on, Dad, get out there, Dad. You can do this. Do it for your family." Is that really the case? Well, maybe you are. But maybe there's a deeper answer to that question. Come on, men. Maybe there's more going on. Why are you doing this really? For whom are you doing this really? Are you internally competing with someone who doesn't even know that you exist, much less know that you're competing with them? And in your competition with this unknown person, are you not actually alienating the people that you say you're doing this for? Doesn't this happen all the time? It's a great question to ask yourself. For whom am I competing? For whom am I toiling? On top of that, do you ever come to the realization I'm not even enjoying what I am? I don't pause long enough to stop and smell the roses. I love my kids, I just don't spend any time with them. I love my wife, I just don't spend any time with her. I love my husband, but I gotta go, 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 go. So I don't even enjoy what I'm doing. Isn't this a death spiral? It's envy. It's jealousy. Heard a story about a rich industrialist who would drive his new Mercedes by a fisherman every day who was sitting lazily beside his boat. He would wave to the fishermen, but the fishermen would barely acknowledge him. And finally, one day, upset, he pulled over to the side of the road, got out and walked over to the fishermen and said, "You barely acknowledge me. I'll bet it's because you're jealous of me and my fancy car." Fisherman said, "No, I'm not jealous. The only reason I barely notice you is that I've got other things on my mind." The man said, "Well, why aren't you out there fishing right now?" The man said, "Caught my quota, got enough fish for the day." And rich man said, "Well, why don't you go out and catch more fish than you need?" He said, "What would I do with them?" The rich man said, "Well, you could earn more money, buy a better boat, go deeper, catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets and catch even more fish, make more money. And soon you'd have a whole fleet of boats like I do. And you would be rich like me and never even have to worry about being jealous." The fisherman said, "But I don't have a problem with being jealous in the first place." He said, "Besides that, if I did everything you said and wound up as rich as you are, what would I do?" The rich man said, "Well, you could sit around and enjoy life." And the fisherman said, "Well, what do you think I'm doing right now?" You will never be who you were designed to be as long as you're looking over your shoulder at what everyone else is becoming. You'll never experience Krishna or God's purpose for your life if you're distracted by his purpose for somebody else. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To find the race that Krishna's called you to run and to find the lane that you're supposed to run in is so extraordinarily liberating. You know what it does? It liberates you to work harder with more peace. It is said a heart at peace gives life to the body. You work harder. You get more accomplished with more contentment. You begin to measure success differently. You cannot compete or compare your way to peace. You cannot win by chasing the wind. If you're a God-centered person, Krishna's given you a race to run. As a parent, as a professional, as a student, as a mentor, an athlete, a coach, a teacher, whatever it might be, God has given you a race to run and he's given you a lane to run in. Stay there and thrive there. Because the moment you get out of your lane and the moment that you allow envy and comparison and jealousy to be the boss of you, do you know what you quit doing? You quit being concerned about other people. Envy is extraordinarily self-centered. Jealousy is extraordinarily self-centered. I'm going to have a difficult time caring about you if I'm overly worried and concerned about me. And that's why in our lives, there's an ugly, 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 embarrassing thing that pops up every once in a while, where we find ourselves happy when somebody else fails, isn't it? And where does that come from? That comes from this false sense that the lower others go, the higher I get. The less you succeed, the more I succeed. We're here tonight to tell you that's a whopper of a lie. But that's what envy does. That's what jealousy does. And how extraordinarily self-centered is that? I heard another story about two shopkeepers who were bitter rivals. Their stores were directly across the street from each other, and they would spend every day keeping track of each other's business. If one got a customer, the other would smile real big and wave and thumb his nose at his rival across the street. One night, an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers in a dream and said, "I'll give you anything you ask, but whatever you receive, your competitor will receive twice as much. Do you want to be rich? You can be rich, but he'll be twice as wealthy. Do you want to live a long and healthy life? You can, but his life will be twice as long and twice as healthy. So what do you want?" The man thought and frowned for a moment and said, "Here's my request. Strike me blind in one eye." Jealousy will cause you to burn down your house to kill a rat. Incidentally, many, many times criticism of another is the outward symptom of an inward problem of jealousy. I read this past week something interesting. Studies have repeatedly found that we tend to attribute our own successes to positive internal traits such as ability and effort, and our failures are to factors outside of our control. But on the other hand, we tend to attribute the success of others not to their ability, but to luck, and their failures to inability, lack of perseverance, or some other personal shortcoming. In other words, if I have a success, it was all me. If somebody else has a success, it was luck. If I have a failure, it's bad luck. It wasn't due to any personal shortcoming. We blame our own failings on the situation while taking credit for our successes. But we blame others' failings on their personal attributes while discrediting their successes. Why do we have that tendency? Jealousy. We've all been called to live a better life than that. Your better life is found in the lane that God has called you to run. From that lane, you can do more for other people because you're going to be less concerned about who and where you are compared to other people. Sure, there is a time to look to other people, but you look to other people for inspiration, not for imitation. Read biographies. Be inspired by their stories. Be not afraid of their success. People who are eaten up with envy don't like to hear about other people's success. They have a hard time celebrating other people. But you can use other people's stories as inspiration, not imitation. In a book called 12 Rules of Life, Jordan Peterson says this: if you want to compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who somebody else is today. Isn't that good? If you're going to do the comparison thing, compare yourself to yourself. Compare yourself to where you were yesterday. It's not about sitting on your hands and doing nothing. It's about being all that you can be, all that God has called you to be. It's about loving progress. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari, Hari. Here's the key. Count your blessings, don't count your neighbors. You know what happens when you begin to count your own blessings? Obviously, you become grateful. Grateful people are generous people. Grateful, generous people are not self-centered people. From this evening on, our encouragement is, when tempted to compare, then you just really need to stop and declare, maybe out loud, maybe under your breath, envy, you're not the boss of me. Envy, you're not the boss of me. I will not chase the wind. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 19th chapter, 2nd verse, our spiritual master Prabhupada writes these words: in the material world, everyone who comes to enjoy himself or lord it over material nature is envious of others. Since no one in this material world can tolerate another's advancement, everyone in this material world is called matsara, envious. Krishna consciousness is meant for those who are nirmatsara, non-envious. In other words, one who is not free from the contamination of envy cannot advance. In Krishna or God consciousness, however, if someone excels another person, the devotee who is excelled thinks how fortunate the other person is to be advancing in spiritual life. In fact, if I'm going to show envy that it's not going to be the boss of me, I'm actually going to write a letter and congratulate my rival in the office on the very thing that makes me hate her. Why? Because envy's not the boss of me. You know what? Even she gets all the attention and all the credit and I do the work, I'm not going to be jealous. I'm going to cheer her on until envy finally shuts his mouth. Envy, you're not the boss of me. I will not chase the wind. Besides, if you're a devotee, you already have a boss. And our boss has given us very specific instructions. Again, in the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 35th verse, Shreyan Shradamavigana Parodharmoshanas Shradanam Sinam Sreya Parodharma Bhayavaha. Krishna says, it is far better to discharge one's own prescribed duties, even though faulty, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Whew. Right from the Supreme Lord himself. Rather than comparing yourself to one another, try this. Love one another. Because you can't do both and you have to make a choice. God has called us to something so much greater and so much higher. You are to love one another, and envy always gets in the way of love. And this is not a nice to do thing. This is mission critical. People are going to know that you're a God-centered Krishna follower, Mormon follower, by how you love people. Celebrate what everybody else is doing. Leverage who you are and the opportunities that come your way in order to serve and celebrate other people. And that's where the peace is found. Ultimately, that's where purpose is found as well. Here again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 11th chapter, 23rd verse. A devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting is certainly freed from the disease of envy, and thus he becomes eligible to go back to home, back to God. So ask yourself, is there an area of your life where envy has become the boss of you? Has envy become the boss of you in relation to a certain person? A sister who wears a smaller dress size? A coworker who sucks up to the boss? You got to deal with this, or you're going to end up chasing the wind. And if you chase the wind, it's meaningless. If you do what's meaningless for too long, then your life becomes meaningless. Envy will draw you in and suck you into self-centeredness. Self-centeredness will drain your life of meaning, and you don't want that. Meaning comes by comparing yourself today with yourself yesterday. Meaning comes through running your race and staying in your lane. Meaning comes through being inspired by others, not imitating them. The world doesn't need more envy. The world needs the love that you can give. The world needs the skills that Krishna put in you. The world needs the contribution that only you can make. In a world with more love, more appreciation, with more celebration, more empowerment, more encouragement of others, envy, jealousy have no place. Control envy in this life, and in the next life, be assured that you go back to home, back to Godhead.